So I have to start things off. Anybody who's listened to me for any length of time absolutely know that I have a love and a passion for obscure holidays. So guess what today is? No, not wear pink. I didn't see it on my list. Actually, what I have is today is National Paper Bag Day. I have no idea what to do with that. Today is actually National Pecan Pie Day. I do know how to celebrate that one, and if you're going to celebrate, please invite me. And also today is National Simplicity Day. And this one's a little more complex. It is in honor, oddly, it's in honor of Henry David Thoreau, the author of Walden. And he wrote many things about simplicity and living a simpler life. And today would be his 209th birthday. So it's actually kind of fitting that it would be, excuse me, it would be National Simplicity Day because I have a relatively simple sermon. We're going to talk about priorities and motivations. And I do ask that you hang on tight because we've got a lot of verses and we're going to be skipping all around the Bible today. Let me tell you, Let me tell you a secret about sermons. I wrote this one because I'm the one who needed to hear it. I didn't write this for you, I wrote this for me. So, that's kind of the way sermons, if somebody else finds something out of this, it's great. But if you don't get anything out of this sermon, just remember I did. So it was for me. I started writing this sermon. I had about seven sermon ideas, and they're all on paper, and I'm moving things around and working on them. And things aren't really sticking. And I get this song stuck in my head. And actually, this for about 2 weeks, the same song. And it actually wasn't even the whole song, it was just the first line. And the line of this song was first things first. First things first. And so I started looking at these sermons and I said, what's the first thing in our faith, in our Christianity? What is the first thing? And there was actually a Bible verse that said that in Matthew 6, verse 33. And the verse says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now we got to take that verse and we got to put it in context. So this is out of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus speaking. The section before this section is treasures in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust will not destroy. Then this section goes on and it's all the do not worry about. Do not worry about food. Do not worry about clothes. The birds of the air are better fed. The flowers of the field are better clothed than Solomon, all of his glory. This is all spoken about in this next section. And it ends with this, seek ye first. So do not worry about earthly things. Then he goes on to say, you have a heavenly Father that knows your needs. And finally, it ends with this verse, put God's kingdom first and he will take care of all things. What a great reminder this is to check our priorities and our motivations. Let's look at this verse one more time, and this is for you, Dave. This is King James Version. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I want you to put a little asterisk next to that, all these things, because we're going to come back to that. So what does it look like when we don't put God first? When we don't put God first? And sometimes God is going to clobber you over the head when you do this, when you don't put him in the right order. And we can go to many places in the Bible, but we're going to start at Haggai chapter 1. And a little backstory here. The nation of Israel returned from exile to Jerusalem. There's a lot of rubble to clear. There's a lot of things to do to rebuild the city and the nation. So they started to rebuild the temple, but they stopped to take care of other things, to take care of themselves. In about 18 to 20 years after the return, Haggai comes in and is sent to deliver a message. And it goes like this, starting in verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Talking about the temple. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. The verses go on and Haggai makes quite clear the reason they don't have enough food, they don't have enough warmth, is that the blessings of God are being withheld because they did not put God first. Another example, Luke 18:18. This should be a familiar story. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus goes on to explain, keep the commandments. And the ruler said, I've done this since I was a boy. So in verse 22, Jesus says this. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Here's a ruler that put his own wealth, his own influence, and his own power ahead of God. Let's do one more example on this side. We got more than one, but we'll get there. Acts 8, verses 9 through 24. This is a story of Simon the sorcerer. Simon was a sorcerer in Samaria. He was well-respected. People followed him. A sorcerer in those days is a magician, a magi, a wise man, tricks and all types of things that they do to keep people's attention. So Philip came to town, and Samaria believed, and they were baptized, and this includes Simon. So Simon followed Philip's around because he was astonished by the miracles that Philip was doing. So the apostles sent Peter and John to Samaria to back Philip up. So they're going around and they're laying hands on the believers, the new believers, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So we pick this up in Acts 8, verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands might receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Peter rebuked Simon so harshly, very harshly, because Simon the sorcerer's heart was not in the right place. His priority was not correct. But the most encouraging thing is verse 24. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen. In other words, I'm sorry. He repents in that moment. But what did Simon put in front of God? He put power and influence. So looking back at these three stories, I can relate to all of them. I can relate to putting things in front of God. The people of Jerusalem put their comfort and stability in front of God. And what did it earn them? A visit from a prophet. And if you know Old Testament, prophets weren't always a a good sign to a, it usually meant a rebuke. It usually meant people weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And that's why the prophets came in and delivered their messages. The ruler had his wealth and his power, and he put that between him and God, and he left disappointed. Simon the sorcerer sought power and influence, and he ended up with a very strong rebuke. Fame, fortune, comfort, power, influence, those are the easy ones to spot. Sometimes the things we put between us and God or put ahead of God can actually seem noble and good. And they can be pretty subtle. Let's look at Martha and Mary. We're in Luke 10 at this point. And what happens here is Martha invites Jesus to her home. And Martha is busy preparing the food, cleaning the house, getting things around, taking care of the guest. And what does her sister Mary do? She sits at the foot of Jesus and listens. So Martha comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It's not to say that taking care of your guest and taking care of the food is not a noble thing, is not a thing that should be done. But to say that there is a time to put God first. And Jesus is saying that Mary was correct at this point. So what does it look like in your life when you do put God first? Remember I told you to put an asterisk on that verse? All these things shall be added unto you. And this is where I've got a word of caution. All these things may not be what you are expecting. They might be way more than you were counting on, both blessings and troubles. We have so many examples in the Bible of people who follow God's will. Joseph in the Old Testament was following God's will. What did it earn him? He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into Egypt, and yet at the end of the story, he saved his entire family from famine by being in Egypt. He was right where God wanted him. Daniel, captive, sent into Babylon, became high up in the courts, and he served Babylon faithfully. What did it earn him? He ended up in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, very familiar story. They were also captured alongside Daniel, forced to serve in the courts. And when a statue went up, they refused to put that statue above God. They kept God first. What did it earn them? A trip to the fiery furnace. I'd be a little nervous too, facing something like that. It's not to say when you put God first that your life will be comfortable the entire time. And then there is my brother Paul. Apostle Paul, who wrote most of a lot of the books in the New Testament. Look at his history. He was beaten at least 3 times. He was stoned once. He was shipwrecked 3 times. And he was arrested at least 3 times. He also writes about being starving, naked, all these things. All these trials that he went through. Yet he still writes this in Philippians 3:8. Listen carefully to what he writes. "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Garbage. Wow. Friday, I met a guy. I was out doing a nursery inspection, and I ran into a guy named Renee. and we started talking. It was the end of his shift, kind of the end of my day. We started talking about a few things. He'd only worked at this nursery for just a couple of weeks. He was talking to me about how much he enjoyed working there, and I enjoy working with those people, so it was kind of neat. In the middle of this conversation, he tells me something. He said, you know, I was diagnosed with throat cancer. And he said, tell everybody you know, if you've got something wrong, get checked out. They did the blood work up. Nothing ever came of it. They couldn't find anything until somebody finally put a camera down his throat or up his nose and down into his throat, and they found this tumor. And he said, they told me I had 4 months to live. And he said, in that moment, he looked at the doctor and he said, you don't mind if I get a second opinion from the great physician, my Lord Jesus Christ? He might have something to say about that. Now, I didn't get a chance to ask him what all treatments he did or anything along that line, but he did follow up with, he said, and that was 4 years ago. He said, I've been cancer-free since. So I'm not sure what all treatments he went through and everything, but I was just amazed by his whole thing, that a cancer diagnosis, and the first things first, he goes right to God. Well, God might have something to say about this. And I think back about Sarah's cancer diagnosis, and I wish I could say I did the same thing. I'm not sure I did. It took a minute. It took a minute to lean into Christ. It took a minute to catch your breath at that moment. But I really admired Renee, and he was just so positive about it. He says, now I have a story to tell. Just incredible, incredible gentleman that I met last Friday. To sum up this story, I think C.S. Lewis actually wrote it best. There's a book called Mere Christianity, and it's a heavy read, let me tell you. But he's got so many things in there that are so worth considering. And one of them is this: aim at heaven and you will get earth, and he puts it in quotes, thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. First things first, put God first. Brothers and sisters, I can only tell you, seek Christ first. Put Christ first in your life, and it will change everything. How do you do this? It's not always easy, but I'm going to give you five quick tips, five ways, five changes, five things that you can do. And every one of these could be a sermon on its own, but we're just going to hit these real quick. Number one, there's a pastor named Leo Giovanetti, and he always said it this way: pray, 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 pray. If nothing else, just pray. And sometimes we get caught up in our prayers. We got to pray the right words or pray the right. No, we don't. I've joked about this for years, and I've heard this joke told. Not really a joke, though. They said, as long as there are tests in schools, there will be prayer in schools. And it will often go something like, Dear Lord, help me. That's a prayer. That's enough sometimes. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be, just pray. Just work it out. Number two, read the word. Does anybody know, remember what Bible stands for? Basic instructions before leaving earth. That instruction thing really struck me. I was reading an IT blog, and the guy writing it was saying, you know how many IT problems, how many computer problems we could solve if people just read what was on the screen? And he recounted getting a call from a guy who said, the computer's doing something, I don't know what. He said, well, what is it? Well, there's a box on the screen. What does it say? Click here to continue. Did you try clicking there? No, am I supposed to? Might try it. So if you don't read the instructions, how are you supposed to know what's going on? God gave us this Bible. It's an incredible thing. The history of the Bible is an incredible thing, especially if you dive into it. So read the instructions. Number three is gratitude. There is a quote that is most probably misattributed to Abe Lincoln. It was probably written by Dr. Frank Crane, but the history is pretty murky. But the quote goes like this, I'm sure you've heard it. Most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. But when Jesus is your focus, how can you not have gratitude? How can you not have a joy in your heart? 1 Chronicles 16:34 says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's almost hard to say that without singing it. Have gratitude. Number, engage in worship and community. Y'all are here today. Thank you. It is so good to see you. Stick around, talk, find out what's going on. It's not limited to church. Matthew 18:20 says this, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. It doesn't matter if it's church. It doesn't have to be just an hour at church. It can be a Bible study. It can be a coffee. It can be lunch. It can be dinner. Worship and community go together. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We're called to be not alone, and fellowship is a good thing. The fifth tip of drawing closer to Christ is this, be mindful of distractions. I can doom scroll Facebook with the best of them. You can lose an hour, trust me, 2 hours, I know, been there, done that. The world is full of distractions. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. After talking to Renee, I drove home from South Bend in silence. I turned the radio off because he gave me so much to think about. I got rid of the distractions. Sometimes it's about being present. Sometimes it's about just sitting in silence. It's really hard to hear God's word, hear God's voice when we're so consumed by our distractions and all the noise in the world. So, brothers and sisters, I come back again to this verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. First things first, put God first. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us, Lord, for this time of worship, this time of fellowship, Lord. And I just pray that you would be in our hearts, that you allow us to open our eyes and see your will for our lives, that you see how you are working in our world, in our hearts, in our community. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the peace. I thank you for your assurances that you are always with us, Lord. Thank you for the blessings of this day, and amen.